We're feeling fruity and full of energy on this lively morning. Because I think that should set you up, because I think that you will feel energised and inspired by the end of this podcast.
That is our aim, isn't it? Like it is every week. Doesn't always happen, but that's our aim.
Did you meant to talk it up?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. The sun is shining, which I think's put a little pep in our step, hasn't it?
Yeah.
We've had a wash and we're ready to rock.
Absolutely. Anna brought me some lovely flowers as well.
Yes.
Which are brightening up my kitchen. And we are in the kitchen today because we have food on the tip of our tongues. Do you
nice
see what
segue.
I did there?
Oh my gosh, profesh.
I know, right? We're talking food today. We're talking about how do you make food optimizing work for you? We have an awesome guest who we're going to introduce to you in a moment. Grab your notebooks, grab your pens, because I'm sure we're going to have plenty of tips to help you get your bite-sized mojo prepped for another awesome week with Slimming World. Cue the ukuleles. Let's get cracking. Doing the little ukulele dance. I'm sure everybody does it. Like, I reckon that so many people have that ukulele song stuck in their head.
It's like, what do they call it? An earworm.
Earworm.
Yes. It just repeats, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Daisy says, it's mummy. It's mummy when she hears it. Like,
it's
she
the
knows
ukulele
it's
tune.
Yeah.
Yeah. So welcome to Slimming World Podcast. I'm Claire. This is Anna, my trusted sidekick. I am a mere member. She is a professional, knowledgeable, experienced consultant.
No pressure.
Yeah, exactly.
No pressure. I'm a consultant. Let's ditch the other two.
Oh, right, okay, sure. Okay. And so this is a group between group where we know so many of you who are already Slimming World members are going to your groups, either be back now or whether you're still doing virtual. And we encourage you to always go to your consultant first, you know, to reach out to your group members. But sometimes you need that bit extra. You need to hear other perspectives, other people's experiences. And that's what we bring. These are our experiences. You know, if you are about to kind of go on a big weight loss challenge, we do encourage you to check with a healthcare professional. Yeah. And just take that these are our personal journeys that we share. You may find something that works for you. And if you're not a member of Slimming World, then perhaps this could be an episode just to give you an idea of what we're all talking about when we say this phrase, food optimizing. So much to get into, but I just think that we should just bring in our guest.
I mean, I'm so excited to speak to this person because it's going to be about the food and so, that's what we both love.
Well, we need to give an introduction.
We do.
That we read about this chap. It is a man. We have a man on the podcast.
Woo-hoo!
Yay! And he was in the magazine and we were like, oh my God, we need to like talk to this guy.
We need some hints and tips, don't we?
Yeah.
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 And we need to learn how to cook.
Let's get this guy on, because not only is Sahir Bhatti a dad of two, he is an IT business analyst by day. He is also husband, a passionate family member supporting his brother-in-law in his weight loss. And also then he's been a Slimming World member, lost nearly 4 stone, and now is a consultant of at least a couple of years and has been consulting throughout what has frankly been a quite mental year. Sahir Bhatti, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, ladies. I'm really, really happy that you've had me. I'm an avid listener and really, really keen to be talking to you guys. It's great to be here.
Oh, awesome. Lovely to meet you.
Right, we've got to ask the important question. What are you going to have for tea tonight?
So I have got a lentil curry with boiled rice and a third of my plate of salad. And I do love my salad. I make them as interesting as I can.
Oh, how do you make your salad interesting? What's your go-to?
I love anything pickled. Yeah, so I'm a beetroot fan. Put some sliced gherkin on there, you know, really, really good dressing. Yeah, so for me, it's like, you know, a fat-free vinaigrette, you know, totally free. I can have as much as I want. It's all about the salad.
Have you tried pickled cauliflower?
No, I haven't.
Get to the supermarket. It's a game changer. Have you tried pickled?
No, I have not.
Oh, seriously. I bought it by accident. Long story, game changer, the crunch. The people who are listening will know what I'm talking about, but if you like a good salad, get some pickled cauliflower.
You talk about buying things by accident. Have you ever tried the pickled cucumber?
No.
No. So
I thought it was a gherkin. Yeah, so I thought it was spiced gherkins. And I picked it up. But these are really big. I'm getting value for money here. And when I got home, it actually said, pickled cucumbers. Really nice. Quite nice.
Was it?
Yeah.
It's quite big in the Netherlands, isn't it? Yeah. Like a pickled cucumber.
Well, I was not expecting this podcast to start with accidentally pickling cucumbers. I mean, what an introduction. You will be forever remembered as Pickled Cucumber Man on this podcast. So, we've kind of titled this podcast about how to make food optimizing work for you. And we've obviously been doing a number of episodes, over 100 episodes, where we've shared some of the lessons that we've learned. But we're really interested to kind of hear from other members, other listeners, other consultants about how they make it work for them. I mean, maybe we should just rewind for people who haven't seen the magazine article. Just take us back a few years before you joined Simiworld. Set us the scene of what life was like before.
For me, all through my life, I've never had a weight problem. I was always fine. I was healthy. And I was, if you go to the doctors, I got the big tick here. And I think when I got to around the 32, 33 mark, I felt I was struggling. So where I could have just kind of pulled back a little bit and you would lose a bit of weight, that just wasn't happening anymore. Things just slowed down a bit. And I just thought, I need to try a little bit harder. And years and years of trying harder just didn't work. And slowly, slowly, the weight just started coming on. Life changed as well. So I got married. My wife is an amazing cook. She was feeding me. and I obviously was being a good husband and not saying no. So I was slowly, slowly putting weight on. Kids turn up as well. So a lot of the activities that I was doing, going to the gym and, those type of things, I wasn't doing that anymore now. And it was very much focused on the children. There's a limit to how much you can how much body magic you can do in soft play, isn't there? Circumstances changed, life changed, and it just meant that actually the focus was not on me so much, and the result of that was actually I was slowly, slowly gaining weight, not realizing it wasn't like an overnight thing. I was getting out of breath. I couldn't keep up with the kids, and I went to the doctors. Doctors kind of gave me some great feedback to say, actually, Zahir, if you come back again and you don't lose any weight, then you will be a diabetic. You will have high cholesterol. And it was literally, I was borderline on so many different things. That was life before Slimming World. It wasn't a great place health wise. And there is a thing about mental health as well, isn't there? We don't like to admit it. And I'll never say that, I really struggled. But there was, now I think about it in hindsight, actually, I was as confident as I was in my younger days or as I am now. I wasn't, I was hiding behind, lots of different, the children were a great thing to hide behind. You need a photo taken. Yeah, grab a kid, put it in front of you. You weren't happy. You weren't in a happy place. I wasn't as confident. I kind of lost that true Zahir. That's kind of how life was beforehand. There were certain triggers that happened, which then kind of led me to make a decision to say, right, it's now or never. I need to sort myself out. I'm now getting to a point where, I might feel too old to do it later on down the line. Yeah. So I'm in my prime. I want to run around with the children. This is the time I need to, have that energy, have that health behind me. And actually this will be a really good foundation to actually when now things have slowed down for me a little bit more. That's how life was before.
So what was the actual moment where you thought enough? Was it something to do with your daughter? I think I remember reading.
Yeah, totally. So it'd been going on for a while. I've not been feeling great. And I've been thinking about weight loss a lot. And I will say that actually I had tried lots of things as well. Yeah. So between 30, 33 and kind of the 3-4 years before I even joined Slimming World, I had tried shakes, I'd tried pills, potions, the works, everything here. Nothing could work. Things had, lost the weight. I just put it back on again because it just wasn't normal. Now I realize. So there was a moment where actually I was getting ready for work, got my daughter ready for work. She's sitting there all ready for in her school uniform. And I'm sitting there now, just trying to do my shoelaces. And I remember just bending down straight, just a standard thing we can all do, can't we? We've been doing it for so many years. And I kind of leaned forward, bend down to do my shoelace, and I couldn't reach my shoelace. And I was holding my breath and I was tucking my belly in. And, in the end, I had to try to do it from the side. And I still couldn't do it. And I honestly, I felt like a bit of a letdown for myself. I thought, actually, this is something that we all take for granted. We can all do it. But, you know, my belly was getting in the way. And I remember saying to my daughter, she was probably 5, 6 at the time. I said, oh, you know, and hey, do you mind helping daddy tie his shoelace? And she did it. And she said to me, oh, you know, I hope I've done it okay. You know, and I just thought, oh, my God, like there's this little girl who can barely tie her own shoelaces. I should be tying hers. And I'm asking her to do something which actually we all take for granted. And is that a great place to be? Is that the right role model I want to be giving my daughter, you know, at the start of her life? And that was, for me, the big moment. You know, they always say, oh, you need to have like an emotional link to your dream. Well, that was my emotional link. It was, am I letting her down? Am I not being a good role model to her? And, you know, is this what she thinks normal? And they, that was the thing that pushed me. I was like, right, there's a leaflet on top of my microwave. It says Slimming World. I don't know what this thing is. I've heard people do it, but I need to just give it a chance.
Wow, how interesting that you'd had the leaflet and like kept it. Was it like it was in the back of your head, like, I need to do something? Wow. Oh, what an amazing... I remember, you know, you're saying about tying your shoelaces. I remember a really definitive point being when I wanted to paint my toenails and I couldn't bend forward to paint them.
I was going
to
say the same thing. I remember just really struggling to this sounds horrible, cut my own toenails. Yeah. You had to get into all kinds of weird positions to kind of do it. And the other day I went to do the same and I was like, this isn't a problem for me anymore, you know. It's very interesting, isn't it? Because often people go for the big things like the photos, you know, as and I think the episode which most people seem to resonate with is Know Your Why, which I want to say in a weird kind of spooky thing is episode 13.
Oh, my God.
I don't know. But Know Your Why is passionately the one of the most listened to podcasts that we've done. And those are kind of smaller things, aren't they? That you know, tying your shoelaces, what a... simple thing, as you say, to take for granted. What was it like when you did go to group? Because, you know, we did an episode a couple of months ago with Jason, who was Man of the Year 2020. You know, and he talked about like being a lorry driver, plucking up the courage to go to group for the first time as a man, breaking this idea that the stereotype that Slimming World is only for women. What was your experience?
So I had the leaflet for about a couple of months, really, put on every excuse to not make it that this week. And one of the other things I was doing was I was going for this walk with one of my neighbours. We were like, yeah, we're going to walk and we'll lose loads of weight. And it was great. It was good fun. And it was great to get out in the fresh air, but we weren't really losing much weight. I think it was just an opportunity to have a natter. And we walked past this venue and there was this banner outside and you'd see people going in and they were like having a great time and coming out laughing. And we just passed and thought, what happens in there? I didn't put the two bits together. And then I'm going, this is the week. There's no excuse. I said to my wife, right, you know, don't let me walk back in this door. Yeah. Unless I've got something in my hands or told you I've been successful. So I left the house with this leaflet. I found this venue and it was the same place that, you know, where this banner was. I thought, well, this is going to be good then. Everyone's enjoying themselves here. Went in and I tell you, it was all women. And I mean, I've got a problem, but sometimes it's nice to kind of see a familiar, you know, a bit of stubble or something, you know. I walked in, I met my consultant, Jenny, really, really welcoming. And literally, I hadn't spoken to her before. You know, she made me really welcome, got me a cup of tea, sat me down, told me what I was going to be expecting today. And that's it. Then, you know, I had like this new member talk, which was brilliant. And all the way through, I sat there thinking, no way is this going to happen. You know, like I can have boiled veg for the whole week and nothing, you know, I don't lose any weight. This is not going to work. And then, yeah, when I sat down and I saw the first man walk in, I kind of did like a bit of a virtual high five, you know. I was like, yes, there's someone maybe I can relate to. But you know what I realized, actually? I could relate to everybody in that room, you know, because ultimately, you know, we're all in there for the same reason. You know, we want to get healthier and we want to lose weight. And it doesn't matter, you know, what walk of life you come from, what your family circumstances are, what your cultural background is, you know, whether you're male or female, everyone is relatable in that room. And it was as I, you know, I got more involved in, you know, the group sessions that we call Image Therapy, it was great because, you know, I could share my experiences, they could share their experiences. And I tell you, I was writing little notes down in my phone thinking, this is brilliant. I'm loving this group session. There's such friendly sessions, aren't they? And the consultants, you know, build that, you know, lovely environment there. that actually makes you want to go back and, you know, get more support and share your ideas. And that's what keeps you going, isn't it?
And you get invested in the other people. You want to know how Linda and Emma have got on, don't you? And you want to hear about their story and support them. You get that sense of community, I think, don't you? You always found that, didn't you?
I think so, yeah. I mean, I'm always interested. There's been times when I've been a Swimming World member in the past where I didn't go to group every week. I did go away and then I'd leave. Do you think that you would have stuck with it had you just gone to away and not stayed to group?
Not at all. I think what I would have done is I would have achieved my first target of 2 stone and I would have, you know, given everyone a big high five and I would have been out the door. Yeah, that's it. And what I don't know whether I would have maintained it, but that's as far as my journey would have gone. By staying in group and seeing other people achieving so much more, you know, and you know, learning, you know, more ways of food optimizing, better ways of food optimizing. And it just meant that actually I then changed my target subsequently 3 more times. So I went for a 3 stone, went for a 3.5 stone, and you went for a 4 stone. And, you know, I got to my target and I maintained that. And I was a diamond member. And, you know, even, you know, you have ups and downs as well. You know, so I have bad weeks and I have bad periods, and lockdown wasn't great for me either. I'm human. And it just meant that actually the group was what kept me going. You know, it didn't make me think, oh, forget this, something more malarkey, you know. I just kind of stuck with it. And, you know, now I'm kind of back on it, and I'm, you know, going for my target again and getting back into my target area, you know, range. And, you know, ultimately it's made it normal. It's made me realise that actually, you know, I am changing these behaviours. It's taken me, you know, I've been on the Swimming World journey for like, you know, 3 years. And, you know, I've been at my target for a lot of that. And, you know, the only reason I've managed to kind of maintain that for such a long period of time is that, you know, you're changing behaviours, you know. And that's the big thing about group. It's not a diet, is it? It's about changing behaviours. And, you know, when we talk about food and my kind of journey with my food and, you know, food from a Pakistani background and our culture, you know, it's about changing those behaviours that I've done and subsequently my family have kind of inherited as well.
It's interesting you said better ways to food optimise, because that's, I often say this to my members, I'm learning from you the way that you cook this or the way you do that or the thing you'd put on your roast dinner or how you, you know, you cook that. That is what you miss when you just come and get away, don't you? So all those changes that allow you to keep going, I think, is what gives you.
It's all great ideas. And I'll put my hands up. I fly the flag for people that can't cook. Yeah, or I've got limited experience. Yeah, I'm no master chef, but you know what? That's great because it shows that actually, Swimming World, you don't have to be a master chef. You know, you've got.
Proved it.
Yeah, you've got so much inspiration, whether it's in group, whether it's on Lifeline Online, whether it's through the app. You know, recipes everywhere, books available to us. You know, Swimming World have done a lot of the hard work, and you know, we've got that information. Some of the, you know, the supplementary, you know, the booklets that we get as well. Brilliant for inspiration, and nice and easy for people like me and maybe you, and you know, aren't great cooks, so just like it easy, but like our food.
Yeah, but that's like Claire, you know, you hadn't tried lots of things, had you?
No.
That experience of starting from scratch.
But even then, you know, we did a podcast, must have only been a few months ago, maybe September, October time, and it was called Trying Something New when we did the chili cake incident. Chili cake, chili gate.
I still don't have one side of my tongue.
But we took
working.
The book and we went through everything in the book and we said, what have we A, never heard of,
or B, never
and B,
tried.
Never tried? And we tried some new things. And we've been doing, well, you've been doing some work for like 20
half
years.
Half my life. Yeah.
I've been doing it for 9 years. And we still look at the book and say, I don't know what that is. Don't even know what it looks like. Don't know where to find it in the supermarket. So the idea is that whether you are a master chef, in your words, or a beginner, that there is that adaptability. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm really intrigued to kind of know, what did you have to swap? Or in some people's minds, what did you have to give up in order to make food optimizing work for you?
Yeah. So like I say, I come from a Pakistani background and I'm married to a master chef. Yeah. So she loves her cooking and, you know, she's great. She loves trying new things. So it's always, there's always food in our house. I didn't feel, it sounds bad when you say give up, doesn't it?
Yeah, like
choosing not to.
Yeah.
For me, it was about actually what can I change to make myself better? So straight away, I came back, I read this book that I was given after this new member talk, and I realised that actually there were certain things that, needed to, you know, be swapped. So the biggest swap for me was a chapati or a naan bread. So what I needed to do there is I didn't kind of think, oh God, I'm giving this up. I kind of had to change the way that I thought about it. So I, in my mind, I was like, I use a naan bread or a chapati just to scoop the curry. Yeah. So the curry is a nice bit. And so really the chapati, the naan bread to me is like a spoon. Yeah. So, okay.
Nice thinking.
Can I give it up? Yeah, I can. Yeah. And so I was all right. So I've dismissed it. I don't even enjoy it anymore now. But actually, one of the things that I swapped it for boiled rice.
So you're getting the carby
here. Yeah. It was like, how can I make my boiled rice better? It doesn't just have to be slop on a plate, does it? You could put loads of veg in it, some peas in it, carrots, whatever you want to do to really zhuzh that up as well. So all of a sudden, you know, I've just made a big swap. So now highest in naan, what was it, about 18 cents for a naan, 19 and a half if you're going Peshwari, you know, all out. And, you know, actually, even for a man who's got, a max of, 20, yeah, it would have just wiped me out. And was it worth it? Or would I actually enjoy, having other things in its place? Straight away, I just thought that's not worth it for me. That's out the window. A chapati is about 9 sins. Okay, that's out the window as well. For me, that's the biggest swap I did. Yeah, so my curries, all we did was we just kind of made swaps and eliminated oil.
Wow.
And as you know, in Pakistani food, there's a lot of oil.
Yeah.
That's one thing that we did. And we just needed to highlight, which curries we could work with. The big thing for me was, swapping my chapati for boiled rice. And to be honest, even if I do have a bit of naan now or a bit of a chapati, I don't actually enjoy it the same. I really, really enjoy my rice now. Yeah.
So really easy swaps then, because you could still have the curry. It's just how it was cooked.
Totally. So for example, like curries wise then. So we used to have a really nice chicken curry, and normally you'd have oil in it. Yeah. To give it the, the sauce. So what we did was we just swapped it. So there was no oil in it now. If you needed to brown any onions, we used our fry light for that. You put your chicken in there, you cook your chicken through. We added lots of spinach in there, so to give it something, some wetness. Your herbs and spices don't change. So the flavor's all there, isn't it? And that's all you're eating it for, isn't it? It's not about, because it needs to have so much sauce. With your chicken tikkas, you swap your creams with yogurt. Yeah. So straight away, you've got something which is totally now free and on plan. I talk about what I'm having today, but that is my favorite, and it's a family favorite now. So a nice lentil curry, so dal. Yeah,
nice. But normally, big fans here.
Yeah, totally. You normally be like a tarka dal in
that's our favorite. Yeah, I mean, I have to say, Matt's probably listening to us upstairs right now, but lentil dal is definitely on our menu most weeks.
And it's so versatile, lentil dal as well, isn't it? And so good and cheap.
No, it is. And again, like what we do in our house now, so my wife actually makes the dal, no oil used at this point. And then in our culture, you toast your cumin seeds and all that sort of stuff, and then you put oil, and then you pour the oil on top. And that's what they think makes it look amazing and taste amazing. So mine gets taken out before that process takes place, and then my wife will put the oil on hers, and she'll have hers, and she's all happy, and I'm happy, and we've both got our own little pots of tarka dal. For me, it's about the spices are all still in there, so it tastes the same, and I love that with, like I say, with my rice, with my salad, and I'm happy, I'm in a happy place. And it's a great thing to batch cook as well.
Oh, it freezes so well. I think sometimes I'm from a big Jewish family, and that we have traditions in the way that we cook and the things that we'd eat. And it's the fear that we're going to lose out if it's not done in the same way. Like, I always, did you find it scary to make those changes and think, oh, will my dal taste the same? Or were you just like, I'm going to make these changes because I want to lose weight? Was that kind of more overriding?
Initially it was, I have to do this. Yeah. So if I want to follow this plan that Jenny's talked about, I've got to do this. And I did it and realised, actually, I'm enjoying this exactly the same as I enjoyed it before. I didn't get anything from that oil being poured on top.
Apart from
the sins,
yeah.
To be honest, I think anybody looking at the two options might go for the healthier one. And do you know what was really funny? So we had these two pots in the fridge, and I found that actually my pot was finishing really quickly. And I was just like, how's that finishing really quickly? I've only eaten it once, and realised the kids were choosing mine as well. So when mum was taking both out, they were like, no, can we have daddy's one? So they were going for mine as well. So then my wife just realised, actually, do I really need it? She goes, it's nice and easy for me just to have one pot in the fridge. And so slowly, slowly, we've realised that actually they've gone for the slimming world version. which I think is brilliant. You know, if the kids can change their behaviours and get healthier, then, you know, that's a win-win for any parent, isn't it?
Totally, because it's a battle trying to get your kids to eat in the first place sometimes, isn't it? The fact that they're choosing the good options.
Yeah, totally. And just like, you know, I obviously say the word speed. These kids have now like learnt this word speed. And, you know, yeah, I know. It's great, though, if it means that they're eating healthy foods. Yeah. So for them, they think speed is anything that goes in the fruit bowl. Yeah. So for them, bananas are speed and everything's grapes are speed just because it's in the fruit bowl. But I'm like, that's fine. If that's what you get, then as long as you help me empty that fruit bowl by the end of the week, then win-win. And, you know, we're fighting over fruit and, you know, we never had that in our house.
Well, I think we should probably say, actually, you've actually done a little bit of recording yourself, haven't you, for this episode. I think this is possibly a good time to hear from some of your family about some of the things that you're mentioning, like fighting over the fruit bowl. Shall we have a listen? This is your conversation with your daughter, who's talking about her experience of Slimming World, but also what change she's seen in you and also to the family.
Well, I remember, obviously, before lockdown, I used to go with my dad and I used to set up and pack up. I was even the raffle lady, which was really exciting because I could go around the room, say hi to everybody, have a bit of a chat, and also sell them raffle tickets, which was really exciting. I also loved that everybody was smiling, all the members were friendly. And I remember it used to just be my little thing where I'd be like, oh yeah, I'm really excited to go.
Anna, have you changed how you eat?
I remember when I would barely eat two apples in a year, let alone two apples a day. I mean, fruit is now my go-to snack. Like, if I'm hungry, I'll just go and grab a piece of fruit. Even my brother, he loves grapes and pears to the point we have to fight over them because there's only one of each left. I think slowly, slowly, our family has come to the agreement that, as Asians, our food has loads of oil in it, and I'm not even kidding. Now we've realised that it all tastes the same, so we all eat the Slimming World friendly version of the curry, and I think it is way more healthier for us as a family. And personally, my favourite are the Slimming World chips, and my mum makes a lovely roast chicken, and I'd love to top it off with a salad.
Anna, tell us, how has Slimming World changed your dad?
First of all, I'm not trying to be biased, but how amazing does he look now? I mean, he's so much more confident, and in family pictures, I remember he always used to hide at the back or hide behind somebody because he didn't want anybody to see him. But now he's so confident, he wants to be at the front of the pictures for everybody to see him. Now he is so much more healthier. I mean, he can come to me on my school trips and he can play with us at the park and run around with us. I think that Slimming World hasn't just helped my dad. It's helped my entire family. I mean, now me and my brother have got our dad back.
I mean, that's just absolutely adorable.
She's so brilliant. Oh, she's like Slimming World personified, if I even say the word, isn't she? She would inspire me in a group. I want her to be my raffle lady.
She's a consultant in the making, isn't she?
Yeah. Yes, she is. Yeah. But having that impact, and, like, you know, you talked about your reason why, about this, you know, Daddy, I hope it's okay, like, thought that kind of sticks in your mind, you know, is the reason that you want to be healthy, you want to kind of keep on top of your health and take it seriously. I mean, right there, you can kind of see how what you do has an impact on those around you. It's very powerful, I imagine.
Yeah, no, it is totally. And, you know, she is my biggest fan. And for me, she is my biggest motivation as well. My son is younger. He's 6 years old. And, you know, he's seeing his older sister. So I don't even have to kind of, you know, I showed Anaya and I showed Daniel. And now literally the children are, you know, so much healthier for it. And that's great, you know. They've both got their own little favourites and of what they like eating. But yeah, when the family's involved, it makes it easier as well. So if you are cooking one thing, yeah, then, you know, it makes it easier for, you know, for you to kind of stay on plan. It's not a chore to cook three different meals, four different meals, you know, for each person in the house. So you know, so it's great. And, you know, I think for any parent, for our children to eat well, you know, that's a bonus, isn't it?
Oh, I just smile when I see her eating broccoli or like carrots. I'm just like, yes, I'm winning at life, because you want to set that example, don't you? And that was a really big thing for me with Food Optimizer when I had days, was I didn't want her to see me doing anything restrictive or, you know, obsessing over my weight. And I guess you two are seeing, this is just how we eat now. This is just what we do. Do you know what I mean? We don't use the naan as the spoon anymore. We have the rice, which is such a lovely thing, because then they'll carry that on, won't they?
Yeah, you're right. You know, and this is the right age to kind of build the right, you know, behavior with food, isn't it? You know, nice healthy behavior. So.
See, a lot of time people come to us and talk about perhaps, like, you know, because we talk about behaviors. I know you mentioned that earlier, and changing these habits and this behavioral change, and people can come to that pinnacle point when they lose weight, carrying a lot of guilt, carrying a lot of shame. They're quite afraid to ask for help. I mean, I guess really with your consultant hat and your member hat, what kind of experience have you had, either like personally, but also like with working with your members? Because I know this is something that you're quite passionate about, kind of rallying against, really.
In the Pakistani culture, sometimes you may be a bit hesitant. You may think, oh, hesitant to ask for help. And like I say, I tried my hardest trying to do it on my own, and, you know, whatever weird adverts you see pop up on, you know, social media for the, you know, magical, you know, ways of losing weight. I tried it myself internally within my own house. Yeah. And then, you know, realized actually, no, I do need some support. I need some motivation. I need some inspiration. Yeah. And I need something to keep me going.
But what was the reason why you didn't want to ask for help, though? What was stopping you?
Yeah, for me, it was just, you know, it was just wanting to be perfect, wanting to be, you know, a role model. You know, I think in our culture, I think sometimes it's, you know, diets or, you know, looking good is all about the women. And, you know, us men, we're all right. You know, we're okay. You know, being big and bulky is, you know, healthy, you know. And sometimes it's about, actually, do you feel inferior, or do you feel, are you not, you know, 100% perfect because you've gone for help? Yeah. In my mind, it was that. And I had to realize or kind of have that conversation internally to say, if I ask for help, yeah, there's nothing wrong in that. If it means that I'm still going to achieve the outcome of me improving myself and being a better version of me, or however you want to say it to yourself, you know, is it worth it? And sure, yeah, it was worth it when I looked at my two children and realized, actually, I still want to run around after them. I want to keep up with them. I want to do so much more with them. I want to be here for them. And then actually, any support was fine. And if it meant me just going in to a weekly group and just getting, you know, coming away after having a great time and getting some really good ideas, well, you know, that's a great method of support then, isn't it? So I think for me, in the Pakistani culture, a male in the Pakistani culture, that's why for, you know, 3-4 years, I've tried so many different things before even, you know, going, you know, to Slimming World. And eventually when I did it, that was one of the key things that I shared. I've always shared in my story. So I would have, you know, I think when I launched my group and I had an article in the newspaper, it was one of the key things that I wanted to share out there. So I wanted to encourage other, you know, Pakistani males, males from the Asian community, males full stop. Yeah, to say, guys, you know, Slimming World isn't just for women. You know, Slimming World's for everybody. And, you know, don't think twice. If you think that this can benefit your health, your mental well-being, you know, can benefit you in any way, then reach out to me. And I have people reach out to me from wide area. They weren't going to come to my group, but if it meant I could spend 10 minutes having a little chat with them and signposting them to their local group, then, you know, I've achieved what I wanted to achieve as a consultant.
Yeah, because you're showing people that actually we are all feeling the same thing.
Yeah.
And actually, it's not a bad thing to say that, because you can fix something if you do. So it's very brave of you, though, to break the kind of stereotype or what you would be seen or had seen being done in your past, isn't it? So, you know, that took courage, I'm sure.
Yeah, it took courage to take that step to, you know, step over, you know, the threshold.
Yeah.
After that, the group, the community that you become part of, starting to see my own results, coming home, sharing. I mean, my first week, I lost my half stone in 1 week, and I came back with this, like, in this sticker and this certificate, and you know, showed my daughter, and, you know, getting that big hug from her saying, well done, daddy. All of a sudden, you kind of think, that's worth it, isn't it? And then slowly then seeing as you continue to lose weight, seeing the health benefits, stopping, you know, getting out of breath when you get to the top floor of your townhouse, thinking, why did you buy a townhouse when you're overweight?
Yeah. I need a bungalow. I know that feeling. Yeah.
So, you know, just little things like that. Yeah, you're right. It was hard at the start, but then, you know, naturally then you stop motivating yourself.
I bet it's had a wider impact on your family, though, and the men in your family, if they started to change habits.
I remember going to my mum's. My mum is like, you know, all of us gather back. I'm one of eight children. So we all gather back at mum's, yeah, when we have, you know, get-togethers. Everybody brings a dish. So mine used to be, originally I was embarrassed. I used to come with a little Tupperware with my own chicken salad in it. And I used to just eat my own thing. And then a couple of dinner parties in, I just thought, you know what? They can't carry on like this. So I used to take a massive bowl of salad. Yeah. And literally used to realize, I like my salads, and I'm zhuzhing them up and making them look really interesting. My salad bowl was empty. Yeah. Within minutes. Yeah. So they'd all gone from the salad. And then I slowly started thinking, well, that's what they tell us to do in Slimming World, isn't it? They say, put the salad on your plate first and then add the other stuff. And I thought, that's what they're all doing, really. And that was one of the first things that made me start thinking, actually, you know, because you're so passionate about it, you're telling people about it, is there a formal way that I could do this? You know, with a bit of training, maybe I could do it better. And that was my step into that, you know, thinking about the consultant role. But by you know, showing people, you know, what I was doing, and you know, kind of role modeling it, really. They were seeing you were losing weight, but then when you're kind of practically showing them, oh, here you go, I can eat all this salad and I can eat that grilled meat on your that you've all cooked yourself. But then there's certain things that I'm going to swap. I might go for the rice and not touch your chapatis. You realize that actually, yeah, you know, lots of men in my family were interested. So I talked about my brother-in-law. And, you know, him losing 3 stone just by us having a daily chat, you know.
Oh, my gosh. He was your guinea pig. I love that.
Yeah, he was. He was my practice. And then I realised, OK, well, I need to speak to Jenny about this consultant that she talks about. Now I am a consultant. You know, my nephew is in my group and he's lost over 2.5 stone. You know, my niece has lost 4, almost 5 stone. You know, my sisters have got to their targets being part of my group. So I think the whole Barty family now is on Slimming World, you know, or has been on Slimming World and are at target. So it's great, actually, because now when you do go to a family event, it's all on plan. That was my master plan.
You just worked your way. That's what I did with my friendship circle. I've just food optimized them all. Yeah. It's fine. Clever man.
I love that. I mean, I think there could be people listening to this right now who might be kind of, I don't know, about to take those first steps, or maybe they're in the early part. And I think back to where I was in some of my darker days when I had a lot of weight to lose. And just the thought of like, oh my goodness, I've got like over 5 stone, maybe 6 stone to lose, not really knowing where to start. And I kind of thought, in a weird way, I used to maybe only operate on my usual kind of positive, sunny, radiant Claire, maybe 2 or 3 days out of the week. And now I find it much easier to make that more like, you know, 5 or 6 days out of the week. And I think a lot of times people think about weight loss as just a number on the scale, but actually the ripples, I think, that you start like feeding out, the impact, the conversations I have with my mom, with my brother, with my dad, actually. And they're the people who know me the best and have seen me like a chameleon through all my millions of transformations since birth. And I think that is very powerful, isn't it? Like the, you know, I think what you're kind of talking about, that value of making a difference. And sometimes when you don't feel so great about yourself, you don't feel that you can make a difference to others. But who would have thought that by investing in yourself, the ripples and how that impacts and makes a difference to those close to you and further afield, without you even knowing that that's like kind of a Brucey bonus, like a side benefit of this?
Yeah, I think, yeah, because we're also passionate about food optimizing and Slimming World. And, you know, when people see the results on you, especially if they haven't seen you for a while, and they'll look at you and think, oh, my God, what's happened to you? Do you know, how have you lost so much weight? And then you just go straight into the new member talk, don't you?
You do. Oh, I've been there many times.
Yeah. So this is even before being a consultant. I think, you know, you are very passionate about it, and you're just having a conversation with your friend, aren't you? And you tell them about it. You don't realise that actually, you know, if they've then gone off and they've, you know, gone to a Slimming World group and they've now gone and lost weight and got health benefits and made their life better, which will then, you know, and that is a massive ripple effect, isn't it? You don't need to, you haven't got anything out of it. But whenever I look back at anybody that I've recommended or kind of like, you know, encouraged to go to a group, and they've come back and phoned me back up, or a text message or a picture to say, oh, now, you know, I feel great, thank you. You know, that is a massive thing for me. And I think for many consultants out there, you know, just to be part of someone's journey is a massive motivation. You know, you feel so great that you've been part of someone's dream.
Oh, amazing. Well, I mean, the other thing I just wanted to ask, like, what have you done recently that you probably wouldn't have done, like, in before Slimming World, Sahir Land?
Shall I tell you, shall I be really honest? Just those pictures in the magazine. There's way I would have let someone take my picture like that and post it wherever, you know. I always used to be tagged on, you'd just be a floating head in the back of a picture, you know, in a group picture. I would never have let you take my picture, you know, on my own. If I didn't have a child in front of me so I could cover everything. So that is a massive thing for me. And I'm really proud of it. I'm really proud of that because, you know, it was the ability to, you know, show a before and after and say, look, guys, if I can do it, you know, anyone can do it. You know, I'm somebody who was very reluctant, you know, very busy. I had every excuse in the world to put this journey off. And, you know, if I, and I can't cook very well, but give me one of the recipe books and I'll follow a recipe, no problem. If I can do that, then anyone can do it. And that was a big thing. I would never have done that before.
Wow.
Amazing. It's been brilliant to talk to you, to hear, and also just hear, you know, from your family as well, and just get an insight, because I think it's really interesting that you're both member and consultant as well. And I know, like, from me hearing how Anna kind of deals with her own weight loss journey and helping see consultants, I suppose, as that you're real people and you're slimmers. Also on the journey too. Mm. I find really helpful as a member. It just brings me back that exactly what you said earlier, we are all human. We have this thing in common that we're all trying to work towards the same end goal, ultimately, regardless of, you know, age, gender, religion, whatever our circumstance may be. Thank you so much for joining us, Sahir. Do check out, you can read more about Sahir on Lifeline Online, also in the magazine, which was, what edition was it?
Major.
Hang on. Majin, oh, right, there
glad
we go.
I was leaning across the table there. Thanks for saving me back.
But if you listen to this in the future, then you can find his story on Lifeline Online on the Slimming World website. Any final words that you would like to add here, Anna?
I'm going to the supermarket. I'm going to make tarkadal. Is that how you say it?
Tarkadal,
right. I'm going to make that.
Tarkadal.
I'm going to make
just,
that.
I'm just looking. This is my plan for the week.
I love it. Is there any on there? I'm also going to put some veg in my rice.
We've got tofu curry and sticky rice with a pita bread, not a naan, side tomorrow night on the menu right here.
Yeah.
Using that healthy extra B, I like it.
I love that.
Absolutely. Well, look, whatever you get up to this week, enjoy your food. Do share your thoughts with us. Has there been a light bulb moment that you've had listening to this episode? Contact us. We are on Instagram at Slimming World Podcast. And we're also on email, slimmingworldpodcast@gmail.com. Ta-ra a bit.
Bye for now.